Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Take Point 22 with Lupusol and Karen. And with me tonight is also Parker Dominic. Anyway, you can come on over to the Term Radio Network, and you can tune us in right there, right off of the station. You can also message us. You can also shop and buy our merchandise. And there's nothing better we'd like to see than you sporting some of our good apparel for your favorite shows. Anyway, with that being said, if you want to be a part of the Trim Radio Network team, all you have to do is message us. And we'll show you how easy it is to do. It is a lot of fun, and we have a blast. And we love the people that we have on our radio program. And we have a lot of great shows. So I'll tell you what, if you could come on over to Trim Radio Network, and we do, we broadcast live all over the world on top of it. The opinions expressed by our host, co-host, guest, myself, and others is not necessarily that of Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others, and any information shared by us is not to be considered to be used as advice. We inform, we don't advise, we always want you to do your own research, and we expressly deny any type of liability whatsoever. Anyway, that song right there, that is just a great old tune. And I'll put it on up there for you. Back to Life from Soul to Soul. That is covered under our BMI music license, 6105-1658. And we have a call-in number, 803-866-1667. You call in, give us your opinion. We want to hear it. The only thing we ask of you is no cussing, no swearing. Can't have that. Otherwise, I got to block you and I got to hang up on you. And I don't want to do that. I'd rather hear your opinion. So, Karen, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Life is good?
It is good. I'm getting ready to go down to Myrtle Beach for 2 weeks.
Ooh, by my neck of the woods, huh? Well,
yes, I am going to my sister's house, and I'm going to be dog sitting and kind of helping my mom out when she's down there.
Yeah. That sounds like a vacation, but you call it whatever you want. Put whatever spin on it you want. It's okay by us, but I'm not going to tell anybody. So anyway, we were talking before, and of course we've only done like one or two shows. We're trying to do these now. These will get out of there. We're going to do these like twice a month. Just kind of taking it easy a little bit more these days. Lots going on still with the VA. One of the things we wanted to cover in the news, it's unbelievable to me, and Karen and I, we were just discussing this, was how somebody can scam the Veterans Administration for $475,000 acting as a dead mother and getting away with it for years, decades, to the point that she put in fake paperwork and everything else, receiving benefits, full benefits, which she has to pay back now. But to me,
go to jail.
How? Now, I didn't know if you saw that or not, Karen.
No, I mean, I have heard briefly, I don't know when she did the scam, but you'd think she'd be in jail and have to pay it back.
You know, and that's the thing. Well, she's 70 something years old. She's 75, 76 years old now. That's how long she's been doing it and how long she's been getting away with it. And for the rest of us veterans that do have medical conditions that are serious medical conditions that have fought and fought and fought to try to get our benefits rightfully due to us, and they come along and they scam the VA like it's nothing. And they get away with it. And I think to myself, and the worst part is, every time they do it, we had the two people that were going to the gym and they did it and they were scamming, you know, and here some of us are that are struggling and suffering, and these people are getting away with it. And they're stealing away from the people that really need it. And it's very frustrating. It makes me so angry and upset because it's becoming more common and common. And how are they getting through the CNPs? And if they're not doing CNPs because of their age and everything like that, You know, some of us are static, and I understand that, but we've seen 8 different doctors. There's no way you're going to scam 8 different doctors, okay?
Right.
You know, how are these people doing this and getting away with it? She was filling out paperwork from home, never saw anybody. And nobody questioned, is she die? No, nobody thought a thing.
What state?
Florida, I believe. But it's amazing to me that we're having this, and I don't understand it. I don't understand. I had to go before a federal judge. A federal judge out of the District of Columbia, and I had to go before them. I went through probably 5 or 6 different CNPs. I can't tell you how many over the course of time in order to even obtain my benefits. And it's just amazing to me. I just don't understand it. I don't get it. And how these people are getting away with it is beyond
me. How did that happen? You know, but I've been talking to a couple of people, and they're telling me that the scamming, you know, is becoming more and more prevalent. It's everywhere, no matter where you go, no matter what you do. There's always a scam.
Yeah, there's always something, and I'm just amazed, and it hurts the rest of us, and, you know, I mean, I don't care. To me, I can do CMPs the rest of my life. It's not going to matter. It's not going to change my circumstances or what I have. And, you know, but for them, it's like they gave them nothing. I don't understand it. And
well, it slipped under the radar.
Yeah.
In Florida, with all the retirees down there, this Parker, anyway. You got to understand the federal government down there is inundated with the VA is inundated with just massive amounts of paperwork. So if they go wave you by, okay, you fit this criteria, then the federal government's going to step in.
Well, they need to. Yep, we're playing microphone games here. We got one mic until I get another one. But and like you said, they do. They just slip right through the cracks. So how do we shore this up and we make sure that the people who need treatment are getting the treatment that they need from the VA? And, you know, the VA has been a hit or miss as of late. Very frustrating to have to drive down there. And, you know, for me, I'm 26 miles away. I'm hobbled with a bad foot. They want me to go to physical therapy. And I said, why don't you put me in physical therapy that's closer to home for me so I'm not driving, I'm not hobbling around, instead of going to physical therapy down there where you can only get me in once a month.
Oh my God, that's not physical therapy.
That's not physical therapy.
And if that's here, then what do you think it is in Florida with all the rest of the retirees? It's got to be horribly inundated with people coming in to make new claims or whatever. So, I mean, and whatever they have in Florida is probably what we have here as far as parts per million veterans per federal government worker. So, I mean, think about it. Florida is inundated with retirees, especially military, all the military bases they have down there.
And it is, and I get that, it is, but at the same time...
Yeah, that's how they slip through the cracks, though.
But there's no checks or balances somewhere along the line.
They need to do a better job.
And the problem is that it's hurting people like us.
Yeah.
Because if those benefits aren't going to those people that are getting through... That's right, that are getting through the cracks, the benefits could have been raised for other people that are seriously injured, seriously dealing with things the rest of their life.
In the states that need it and don't have the monetary or facilities to do it, Yeah, absolutely. That is just what bureaucracy is.
It is, and I get that. But we have this problem. It's not just with the VA. We have this problem with how the VA are doing loans. You know, Karen was just explaining her situation, you know, with the same company that I dealt with, Freedom Mortgage. And, you know, hopefully within the next couple of days, I'm done with them. You know, I just, at this point in time, you know, I got the help that I needed through the South Carolina. I can't thank them enough. South Carolina Homeowners Rescue, fantastic. Professional.
Same with one. I'm going to tell you, it was, you know, it's a state of Maryland, so it's a government agency. Never before in my life have I had such kind people that customer service was their, like, number one goal.
Yeah.
I mean, so, so nice to me. And I did have a problem with Freedom Mortgage, but when I would call, the people that I talked to were very helpful, very friendly, all but two. And I would call them about every day, wanting an update on my account. And so I will say that about Freedom Mortgage is that I didn't like some of the policy or the policies they had, but
that's the problem. But that's the problem. I don't care how polite and nice you are, if they're going to screw you over.
Right.
It makes no difference to me.
And they
smile about it. Exactly. Smile to the bank. You know, now I got the help that I needed and corrected everything. But I said, is this a company that I want to deal with then for the rest of my time? You know, I dealt with them for years, never had a problem. Everything was smooth sailing. Until I believed what I believed and was totally misled. And then when you find out other veterans went through this and they were misled, and they're like, well, you know, the last person was like, I think you're being ungrateful that, you know, we got this corrected for you. You didn't get anything corrected. South Carolina
Right.
Homeowners Association, who gave me the grant, corrected it. You did not. As a matter of fact, you would have walked away with my house if you could have. So, no, I hold no loyalties to you at that point. You know, I would have never been in this situation to begin with if I blame myself. I trusted him. I believed him. And I was wrong, you know. And sometimes when you trust and you believe people, when they tell you things, you're like, okay, this, you know, you know. So, you know, I'm already trying to finish up what I need to. I went to another VA type mortgage company is what I'm trying to do now. And I will take the higher percentage rate for right now and use what they call an IRL, which is set up for military people to lower a point and a quarter or a point and a half, 8 months, 9 months down the road, and then, you know, continue on again. But I'll pay everything off. I'll be done with it.
So look into it.
Yeah, no, that's what. Yeah,
yeah. Mortgage opportunity.
Absolutely, because you know the way I look at it is, now I'll have one bill. So I'll have one bill and just one bill, other than my electric or water and sewer and gas. I'll have a house payment. That's it.
Oh.
And I'm right. And I'm done. And
through the VA.
And I did this through the VA It's the VA that guarantees the money. The lender itself is eMortgage.
Oh.
And eMortgage, I used some of the equity. I hadn't used my equity before. And I thought, you know what? If I'm going to use some of it now.
High point now.
Yeah, I might as well use it because you're not going to get any free money that free. You're not going to get money that free. Right. So even if your percentage rate goes up, and believe me, I took a hit, folks. I did. I went from 2.3. 8.7, and I'll end up at 6.25, but I'll be back down to 5 within 8 months. But you're not going to get that kind of a percentage rate on a loan. So you have to weigh the options.
That's really good.
And I figure, okay, for that amount of money and for what I'm doing, I would rather do that and still have plenty of equity in the house. So,
right.
You know, rather than them do their loss mitigation. And of course, now that they see me doing this, they've been writing me every day, emailing me, hey, you know, come to us. Well, we're going to hook you up. We'll give you a $250 gift card. And if we don't close on the right date, we'll give you $1,000. No, I'm not going to deal with you. I'm done. I'm done. I trusted you once. I won't do it again. Now, that doesn't mean because of my bad experience, you'll have a bad experience. But I don't want people to think that. But I'm going to be honest and upfront and tell you exactly, you know, what my experience.
You get a lot of email about what you should have done.
Right. And, you know, so this will turn out hopefully better overall. But I like this company, eMortgage. So far, so good. You know, they've missed two closing dates, but they're working really hard. And you know, things had to change. I had no way around it. Things had to change because it was really stressing me out to where I was on medication and taking more medication now because of the anxiety and the stress and depression of it all. So, you know, I was having panic attacks. And no company should put you into that mode. And, you know, I had three of them this year and last to where it put me in the hospital. And I said, no more. I'm not doing this. I've got to come to a different resolution to this. So I kind of took it out of their hands. Oh, his ear's bad. So I kind of took it out of their hands and put it in my hands to do something different.
Yeah, you really have to look at all your options and, you know, work with people that you can trust or, you know, that is practicing good business.
Yeah.
It's hard to find.
And it was just that. And I didn't want to work with, you know, I didn't, when a company won't take a pay stub because it doesn't have year to date, but it has report totals, and that's the only thing, and they tell you, nope, we need it like this, and I'm like, there's no law that says that. There's no law that says it has to say year to date versus report totals. It's still telling you the same information. So if you can't pick up that concept or you want to sit there and challenge me on it, and I checked, I talked to the accountant, I talked to the different ones, and they're like, no, it's ridiculous. You can't expect, you know, my employer, and I'm only working part-time, to sit there and change his accounting stuff for them. No, there's a simple solution. I won't use them.
You know? Well, here's a question. I don't know how you guys feel about this, but when you're asked to show bank statements for whatever you're doing, do you show the deposits only, or do you show an entire 2 months of spending?
That's a good question and a great question to ask, and I'll tell you why. They asked me, and I showed them 4 months of not only deposits, but everything that was done in the account, basically. I went to the bank 4 different months and got the whole account thing for the month. And then they said, we need pay stubs for the 30 days. I got that. Then I got the tax reports on how much it was taken out of taxes for the entire year. The thing they didn't accept was year end to date. Year end to date. You get that? Because it didn't say year end to date and it said report totals. They automatically threw me from loss mitigation and slid me a letter in November saying, we're gonna foreclose on you. And then that's how I found out, and this is after being on a forbearance, that they were supposed to just tack on at the end of the loan. So,
right.
You know, that's what we were all told. And that's what you were told, that's what I was told. Oh, no problem at all, you don't have to do a thing. You know what, when the forbearance is done, we're just gonna tack it on to the end of the loan. Well, now we know that was a lie. You know, so that was extremely frustrating.
I'm uncomfortable with people, strangers who I don't know, I mean, I don't even, my husband and I are the only ones that, you know, I feel comfortable looking at it. Like our full statement. I don't want people knowing what I spend my money on.
It's really none of their business. All they need to know is how much goes in and where you get it from. So if you're working and there's a deposit made and it goes into your account and you have this job and it's said job and they verify your employment, that's it. Where you spend your money or how you do is none of their business. Okay? It's none of their business. Because they might think it could be frivolous things, or they could turn around and say, oh, well, he's just wasting money or something else.
Right.
It doesn't matter. You have no idea how much I'm paying in gas. You have no idea how much I'm paying in food, because a lot of times it's not showing that stuff if I'm paying cash. You have no idea what it's taken to take care of everybody in the house, how many people you have in the house. They have nothing at all that tells them what your life is like. So if you want the information, I think they get a little bit too much information. Now,
my bank, so just do a letter on bank letterhead that is signed by an employee of the bank, how much is deposited in my account, not because I don't want to send people what I spend my money on.
It's none of their business.
Account hacked before, and I just feel like it's none of their business. Now, let me tell you something that happened to me 2 days ago. My daughter and I were sitting in the living room, and we had our phones on the off. You know, they were on the table, weren't using them, and we were talking about a topic. And about 2 hours later, I'm getting advertisements through email and, you know, through on like social media that, you know, they come up with those ads about what we were talking about.
Let me tell you why. On the top of your phone.
It was a very vague topic that there's no way it would be just because a coincidence. There was no coincidence.
Okay. So on the top of Android phones, now I don't know about iPhones, but there's an orange button that comes on. And it basically, from what I was reading the other day that they were talking about, is your phone listening to you? Yes, your phone does listen to you. You know, if you have one of those spots, if you have one of those echoes, if you have one of those things, yes, it listens to you. Certain words that you say, does it spy on you? Is it an infringement of your privacy? Absolutely.
I totally agree.
And it makes me angry. But that's why I'm careful about what type of TVs I buy. I'm careful about, you know, you want to get these new TVs that have these cameras in them. You don't know if this thing is spying on you or not.
And I read something, I don't know, about 2 weeks ago, that a woman had her TV off and she was being spied on. So it's not even that the TV was on. It was plugged in, but it was off.
Yeah,
and the camera was working. So explain that one, you know?
It happens to just about everybody. You know, you could be talking about one thing. I was talking, Sherry, we're talking about fencing and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, I'm getting all these fencing things that come up on Facebook. And I'm like, what in the world, you know, or roofing stuff. Even if you type something in and you're just inquiring about it, but you're not giving out your personal information, guess what? They're tracking an IP number. They're, you know, it's an algorithm and everything else. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're inundated with all kinds of spam. And it's like ridiculous. So, you know, different things. You know, I have a couple of different email addresses. Only close friends and every like that get my one email address. Everybody else that I did that, you know, that it goes to the spam one. And believe me, I probably have 30 every day to 40 different spam things that come to that phone. Oh. And then these people call me out of the blue. I can't tell you how many times I've had firefighters, then I've had you know, highway patrol, I've had police, I've had local police, I've had, there's probably about, and it's the same guy. I know his voice. One day he's Tim, the next day he's Pete, another day he's Rich, you know, he's, you know, this is Rich, you know, and I'm like, no, you aren't, you know, you're not going to even say your real name. But what people don't realize is when they donate to these things, you're getting on a list. Okay. Oh, he gave there. Okay. And these guys all talk to each other. So whether you get Rich, Tim, Pete, Charlie, whatever his name is going to be for the day, you're on a list. And he'll call you, and then he'll call you later on in the day from a whole nother thing. He gets a percentage of that money that he collects. Okay, so it's not all going towards the need. Understand that. Right. A very small percentage is.
He gets paid a
so,
set amount.
Oh, yeah, he gets paid, yeah.
No, but he gets paid a set amount, like $350, I mean, minimum wage, calling these people. I did it.
And of course, one of the guilty party is sitting right here next to me, Parker. So,
I did it. I got paid minimum wage to call these people to get like a fireman's ball or something like that. I mean, you get paid minimum wage with a phone bank of like about 30 people. Call them the phone book, and they had highlights of the ones that gave. So it was like a given.
Yeah, I have blisters on my thumb from blocking you people.
I mean, I know what it is. So it's there. But it's better than a robocall, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, I love the robocall ones. You know, there's an order, a purchase that you made that for this order. Press one. No.
Yeah. Insurance. Car insurance is about to last.
Yeah. Car, and then, yeah.
For our, like, Verizon, they call, they say they're from Verizon, say, well, you know, need to, you're 1 month behind and you need to pay last month and this month, or your phone's going to be disconnected in 10 minutes. My husband's called me in a panic. And I'm like, no, honey, we're fine. But they're like, very insistent, and they really make you believe.
Oh yeah, there's scams out there all over.
Oh yeah, there's all kinds of scams out there, and veterans need to know when these guys do call, especially for mortgage companies or, you know, lender companies, and they turn around and say, we're VA specialists. They don't work for the VA. They never did work for the VA. They don't work for the VA. They sell loans. All they do is they're sells to servicing. That's it. Okay.
Well, how can you check VA authorized vendors?
What you can do is you go to VA.gov and you can go on in there and request to see if they have a list of the different mortgage companies that work with the VA. And that list is different from other mortgage companies because there are companies out there that will you can do a mortgage through your bank and stuff like that. If they are not, you know, the VA has certain guidelines.
Yeah, absolutely.
The VA has certain guidelines, certain requirements, and everything else. And as a matter of fact, it is on there. I'm going to look it up because it's got... Yeah, VA requirements.
Well, do other companies can say that they're VA friendly?
Well, anytime they do this, and anytime that they come to me and say, like right here, you can go on there, and there is a veteransunited.com 2023. VA loans, check updated requirements. And you could go on to these different sites and look at the requirements necessary to have or to get a loan. Here's what the VA does. The VA guarantees the servicer, the person that, okay, so Freedom Mortgage has my mortgage. Okay, so basically I pay my checks to Freedom Mortgage every month. They own my home right now, okay? All right, the VA backs that loan. So if I default, if I foreclose, whatever happens, first of all, it'll go through the courts or do whatever, and then the Freedom Mortgage will turn around. They'll say, okay, he defaulted. All this stuff happened. There'll be a decision made. Then the VA steps in and say, okay, we back that loan. So we guarantee to pay it back. So they pay it back. Now the VA owns your home. Okay? So it can be either fixed up or whatever and resold. Not that mortgage company. No. Then the VA owns it at that point. They guaranteed it, so now it's their property. So what happens is if it gets sold, first as the veteran, you have to understand you lose your benefit on that. So you can't buy another home. You lose your benefit on that until it is fulfilled, until it is recovered. So if somebody else buys the home, then okay, there it is. Now you can do it again. But and what the waiting period is, I don't know what it is or how long it is. But you know, it seems to me once it's fulfilled, then it's paid back. A lot of veterans don't understand that, but that's exactly how that works. So you know, and the VA will, they're the underwriters. Understand, they'll tell you what we'll accept, what we won't accept. So there's an amount that goes to the month, like how much you make versus how much you want to buy the home for or what it's gonna cost you and everything else.
The bank usually does that too.
The bank does it, but they have to follow the VA rules because the VA is the one guaranteeing the loan. So they have to follow the VA rules. But when somebody says they're a VA loan specialist, understand, to me they're, okay, listen, we service loans and are qualified to deal with the VA. We know what their requirements are and everything like that. They do not work for the VA. Understand that. They are not government employees whatsoever, okay? And when they tell you something like that, it's misleading to veterans and it's very frustrating to them because, you know, we don't want to deal with somebody that's not going to, they're going to BS you on the phone. Yeah, I want somebody that's obviously going to take care of me and in my best interest. You're the one spending the money.
But money's money, and anybody's going to look for it.
It's frustrating when you deal with that. So keep that in mind.
VA friendly as opposed to, and a lot of the local banks also help with, you know, VA. I mean, especially in Columbia where we have a lot of military. So any local banks, not national banks, your local credit unions, I guess. I think they have a better rate than most of the federally funded institutions.
Right, but a VA loan is different than some of these other, than HUD or whatever else.
But they do.
FHA or whatever.
Deal with mortgages on the VA loans. That's what I did. I went through the local Palmetto City.
Okay, so if you did, and a lot of them are federal credit unions. You know what I'm saying? So a federal credit union is different than a regular bank. Understand that. A regular bank that's not a federal credit union is FDIC, like most banks are, but they're a credit union. They're union owned. Basically, you know.
But it's usually more of a community thing.
Right, and the bank is not owned simply by who the wealthiest person, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's yeah. Watch out for.
You were part of their.
Right. I'd rather deal with local than major, but some majors have better dealings with VA, I guess.
Right. And you know, blessed are us that did serve, that, you know, and what is it? Qualify. Well, usually it's 24 months in order for you to be considered a veteran. So you have to do 24 months of honorable active duty to be considered to be a veteran, unless you're injured or something else, unless there's some mitigating circumstances or whatever. And then I believe that can get changed. But if you ever have questions about, you know, where you get started and what you need to do, go down to your local veterans administration, go to your DAV, go to your medical facility, VA medical facility, and they have right inside there somebody that can tell you whether you qualify, what your benefits are, what your co-payments will be, or if you have to be a full pay. It's still cheaper than the outside, I will tell you that. A lot cheaper. So I understand why the VA wants to keep patients and everyone in-house. The problem is they can't meet the demand on some of these things to where they can get you seen within 30 days or, you know, or getting you the to where people are so far away. There's no reason somebody from Rock Hill is having to drive down to Columbia, or people from Irmo that are having to drive all the way in out to Dorn when it's 26 miles away, and they said, well, we're going to put 30 miles on it. Well, you know what? By the time you deal with construction, by the time you deal with everything else, you're in the car for over an hour. And, you know, and it's not passable. And we're talking, what are we talking? 2 miles, 3 miles? To me, that's egregious. And, you know, and if you can't see me at that point, then let me go to an outside doctor's. That's why I tell any veteran this. If you have a chance to have an outside primary doctor, do it. You know, it's okay to be on like the Freedom Team, the Red Team, the Blue Team, the White Team, or whatever down at your VA, and you have a primary doctor down there, and then you have specialty doctors. That's great. Get a primary outside doctor. I can't encourage that enough, because if you don't agree with how they're treating you or you don't agree with it is, yes, it's going to cost you a little money out of pocket, but I'm going to tell you, at least I can use that doctor to dispute what they're saying. And more than likely, because they're doctors and they respect each other, they're not going to sit there and fight amongst one another. And I'll say, listen, you know, why am I going down this road? And he's disagreeing. And he's the outside doctor. And the VA doctors understand work for the government. So if you have a discrepancy, if you have something that has not turned out right, as I did in many cases, in many outcomes with surgeries or whatever else, and they were like, well, you have to prove it. You have to create an on-ramp to a bridge to an off-ramp in order to go back and do something about it. That's where your outside primary doctor can come in and, you know, help you out and say, listen, is this reasonable? Did this happen? I'm showing you the evidence, because you can't use evidence that's online. They won't take it.
Oh, wow.
So even though it says without a doubt, listen, we've done the research on this. I have the research here. Here's the papers
and
physical hard copies. And here's the studies. No, we won't accept that. And these are doctors that are, you know, the medical doctors that, you know, at the MD or whatever, that are certified, and they won't accept that. So you have to go, I had to go to a primary doctor.
Just to get it rebuked.
To get it rebuked and take all the paperwork, all my medical treatments and everything else for him to turn and say, yeah, that's it, man. You got a link. Absolutely. This was studied. This was looked at. And in my professional opinion, here it is. And
wow.
Get the letter, go before a federal judge, and, you know, and plead my case, which I did. But, you know, and that's that was a video thing. And, you know, I thank God. And a lot of people get scared about going before these judges because they make the final decision. But this guy was not only professional, but yes, show me where it is. And I want to make sure you're getting the treatment for it and acknowledged for it. And I did.
Well, you were lucky.
Very lucky and blessed. But the link was there. I knew the link. Listen, they know the link. Okay? They know it. I know it. We all know it. You just got to prove it. And I had to prove that this happened at this time when these things were going on. So I was able to do that. Were they ripping out asbestos? Yes. Was it within 100 feet? Yes. You know, were you working with beryllium? Yes. does this stuff create and cause these things that are happening, your condition in your body? Yes. Did you have it prior to the military? No. And being able to prove that and say, okay, from this time span, within those 5 years that I was there, 4 years that I was working on that, highly exposed to that, and did we know enough about it back then? No, they didn't. So, you know, not to what we know today. Today, we all know. Now we're like, okay, that's lethal. You know? So, yeah, but you see how that works. And that's exactly what you are bringing to the table on top of everything else. Does it cause... Kaylin, does it cause depression? Did it alter my being? You know, did it create and cause permanent damage to me? Absolutely. And you know that, and the depression, the panic attacks, and everything else, and because you know you're sick, and you're sitting there fighting, and you're fighting and fighting, and getting denied and denied and denied. Until you go through these steps. So it's not an easy process, which brings me back, how do some of these people get away with the crap that they're doing? Which is just beyond me. Why the rest of us are fighting, you know, tooth and nail to bring a problem to light, not just for ourselves, but for everybody that was in that situation. You know, there's a lot
of... That of the problem is that the VA, you know, had for years the complaint of them taking too long to approve or disapprove claims. And so several years ago, maybe about 8 years ago, 9 years ago, they were saying, no, we need to speed up the process. So, and I think in speeding up the process, possibly they overlook things just to get it through the system. Because
it was proved they were negligent. They were negligent. And they were negligent with the suicides. So now we have where they want to open up the doors to make sure that every veteran is getting mental health. But at the same time, I have questions about that because now I think to myself, okay, Now you guys want to do this after 22 a day, and we know back in 2020, 25.2 a day, okay, were taking their lives. And when you're dealing with sickness and you're dealing with health, you have suicidal feelings. I don't care. I give up. I you know, I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of, you know, every step that I take coming back and hurting me. And then you know, you're time stamped on top of it. So, you know, could this progress in me at any time? Absolutely. And then who knows how much time you have. And people are like, well, you've had it for a while. You'll probably live forever. That's not how it works. Listen, I had a normal conversation with my boss and my son was down there picking me up an hour later to where I don't remember a thing from 6 o'clock, 6:30 in the morning till 4 in the morning. From the sarcoidosis, it hit me that fast. I looked at Ellis and said, hey, man, I've got a muscle pull, or I did something. I turned wrong. And then a half an hour later, I said, man, God, did I break a rib? Did I cough and break a rib? An hour after that, I was having in-and-out conversations with my son, Kalen. And after that, the last thing I remember was people telling me, stay down, stay down, stay down. I guess I was trying to get up. In the middle of the lobby, and they were trying to tell me to stay down because both my lungs partially collapsed. That's how fast it can come, just like that. Thank God I was right there at the hospital at that time, and I was smart enough to know once the pain got serious, hey, I better get going. And I didn't drive. He had to drive me. I was scared. I was scared. And, you know, so you deal with suicidal thoughts, you deal with these things because you're like, you know what, I don't want to go through that again. I don't want to deal with it. And what's the point? Nobody cares. Nobody cares. At the end of the day, you're a number. At the end of the day, nobody cares. So the fight that you're in for the rest of your life, You're in it by yourself. So when people are like, hey, you know, what do you want us to do? Feel sorry for you? No, I don't want you to feel sorry for me at all. It's not your fight. Or people will tell you, well, that's a lot to deal with. You know, I don't know if I want to deal with, you know, somebody that's got a lot of that. Hey, it ain't your fight. Okay? I'm the one that goes to bed with it. I'm the one that wakes up with it. I'm the one that deals with it. So it's not your fight anyway. But then you can understand where depression comes in, where anxiety comes in, where panic attacks comes in, where the bipolar comes in and everything else, because you give up. Your brain gives up on you, and it's very hard to fight those feelings, and you have to find a different way. And for me, it was, you know, reading the Bible and doing things that I manage it. Will it ever get better? No, it will never get better. But I try to manage it with that. That's my peace. I do that morning, I do it at noon, I do it at night. And that is my peace of mind, and I try to live that way. And I don't like to be around people. I don't like to be around crowds. I don't like to be around, I mean, I'm very quiet. I love peace. And, you know, radio is fine. I don't see people while you're on there, so it makes it easier for me. And yet I try to be an open book about it so that people can understand exactly what you're going through, so that they can say, hey, you know what? I got that. Okay, let me find a better way. Let me try to find something. But it's very scary. It's very spooky. And I can't explain to you why I get those feelings. I can never explain that because it's beyond me. They just happen. But imagine all these veterans that are committing suicide now, 22 a day. And we're saying, okay, now, in 2023, here we go, this last week, we're going to give you free mental help and everything else. Where the hell have you been? And why now? Well, isn't it interesting that they passed all these red flag laws? So every time, to me, this is a twofold thing. Are they honestly doing it out of the heart? Which I hope that they are. I'm looking at it and saying, yes, I hope so. But just understand that you're going to be listed as that, just like I am. And they'll turn around and they can say, well, you can't own a firearm. You've lost that constitutional right. Who's protecting you? And why would you do that all of a sudden to the veterans? Part of me thinks, hey, you know what? What a great way to disarm people. So I look at it because now I'm skeptical because of what I have seen over the last bunch of years. I have questions about it, and I'm playing devil's advocate here, but I'm going to, because my trust for them is nil. You broke that trust, not once, not twice, not three times, but multiple times, and now you want me to trust you, and I see this, but is that to take away any, you know, partial rights? And they say, well, he can't do it now because he's not allowed to have it. And is that really going to stop it? No. That's kind of the fallacy of, well, we'll take all the guns away from all the citizens and then we won't have any mass shootings. Sure you will. You will always have that. And the reason you'll always have that is you can go to any back alley, any back street corner or whatever else, still buy a weapon. I don't care what they do, even if they banned them all. And you know, and the problem is now you have criminals that have the guns and not law-abiding citizens.
Right.
And they're still going to do the same thing. And then we're going to call these things weapons of war and everything else. And I can't stress this enough. The AR-15 has never been in war. It never will be. It would never hold up. And people don't understand the difference between automatic and semi-automatic and full. Okay? One is you pull the trigger, it doesn't stop shooting until the clip is empty. The other one is it can go in bursts, three shots, boom, 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 boom. And the last one is one pull, one shot. That's what America can own. One pull, one shot. Or you have to get a license or whatever to have one of these other type of guns that is expensive. It's going to cost you over $5,000.
There had been an automatic weapon made since 1981?
Yeah, just other than military, and they are not in the hands of civilians. And people are like, well, we can make them, we can change some things on it. Okay, well, then they're breaking the law. So there's your criminal right there. And if they're doing that, and they're doing it without serial numbers and everything else, that puts you in a different category. You are no longer a law-abiding citizen if you're breaking the law. I mean, it's just that simple. And the last I checked, murder was still against the law. So we turn around and we say mass shootings. Well, that's two or more. Two people. No, it is not. It's two or more. It's two or more. So you could turn around and say, hey, you know, we have all these mass shootings. Okay, that's two or more. And then we're going to blame it on the gun. Well, let's get a look at the person. let's get a look there. And then let's get a look at some of the stupid laws like Illinois has to where, hey, wear an ankle bracelet and you don't have to report to us for 48 hours. And you know what? And then we'll come looking for you. But, you know, we're going to release you instead of paying these high bonds or whatever else before your court appearance. You're giving them 48 hours to go on out and find the guy who's going to testify against you, kill him before you're even reported back.
All right. What you have to understand is how many guns are legally so-called registered in the United States? 50 million? Is it 50 million?
It's less than that. I think it's like... I want to say it's like 20 to 40.
Yeah, I think it's more than that. I think it's like twice the population of the United States.
Well, I know that the ATF, once you buy a gun or you buy multiple guns, is coming to your door now asking for the serial numbers and everything else. Hey, we noticed you bought a gun here. Yeah. And now they're coming in, which because it's registered, and they want you to verify everything. And the bottom line is another infringement upon your rights. You have the right to bear arms. It doesn't say that I have to let you know or register it with you. The bottom line is, it says you have the right to bear arms.
But what I was trying to get at is the ratio of gun to death ratio. However many guns there are in the United States
is low. It's very low. It's like
to death ratio, it's like
0.1. Yeah, it's a very small amount, but at the same time, any death is tragic
absolutely.
When it's used. But these are the things that are happening in our country.
It's not for the psychological, it's for the tool.
Listen,
don't get rid of the tool because the owner of the tool doesn't know how to use it or uses it in a negligent fashion.
Well, it's the same. Listen, if you have politicians who don't follow the rules, everyone got on Trump because he had all these different classified documents. Now we found him with Biden, and he says, well, there's a big difference. I was forthcoming about it. Well, wait a minute. Should you have even had the classified documents? Because you were a vice president and not a president. First of all, that's a big difference there. Second of all, why did you have these classified documents? What are these documents? And why did it take you so long to reveal those documents to begin with? So you wait until after the outcome of an election, which was deceitful. And then you said, I have no regrets. No, that's not an answer. That's deceptive. And then we found that now they have Pence. Pence has the same thing. They all have records. They always did have records. But when they blew this up and you want to change the outcome of a possible future president or something else, you say, oh, look at this. Look at what I got. And the truth is, they're all guilty of it. So, it's just that simple. It's just that simple. So it's very frustrating to see them. It's very frustrating. So my question is, do we trust them?
I do not.
Yeah, and I think more Americans are getting to that point to where we can't believe you. We've seen this with the vaccine and everything else. Now they're showing, hey, you know, now this new vaccine can cause some strokes and stuff. How much damage has this thing done to people? And now we see a connection of over $600,000 from the NIH over which goes to the Wuhan lab and everything else, and everyone wants to believe in bat rack chicken soup. Well, you know what? Then we're finding out about gain of function and how Fauci was involved in gain of function. And if you don't know what that is, I want you to do your own research and look it up, and then you'll understand. Gain of function is making and changing a disease or a virus or something else to seeing how much more, or can it attack certain groups, organs, lungs, whatever, people, and it's incredible when you read upon it, and then they want you to believe that, well, it's used for good. Well, I cry no. So, you know, based on everything, and then when I see that he's made multiple millions of dollars off of this thing, and these vaccines and everything else, so now I have more questions. I think it's all going to come out. The truth is going to come out, and it's only a matter of time. But I think that there's a lot of people that are going to have a lot of answers. So,
I hope to see it before, you know, I'm taken off the face of the earth. But I just, it seems like you're just on a merry-go-round in a circle, like there's no end. We know what's happened, and I just want them moving faster to set up consequences.
It's going to come. But I'll tell you what, we'll leave that for next week, Karen, or the week after. How about that?
That's good.
All right. And listen, guys, I want to thank you for tuning in. And we always do your own research. Find out what gain of function is. You'll see it. Look up the NIH. Look up the connections there. Look it up. It's all online. It's there now, and that, you know, it's available. But check out everything. You know, so do your own research, and we hope that you do that. But I wanted to thank you for tuning in tonight with Karen Parker and myself. And the three of us will catch you in 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So we'll catch you in 2 weeks. But until then, I want to say goodnight to you all. And let's get back to, you know what? This is just such a great song. I think I'm going to play this song right here, and let's get out of here. Thank you for tuning in to Trim Radio Network. God bless you. And if you have any problems, go over to Take Point 22 if you have any questions or anything else, and we'll try to answer it to you and get with you. We respond really fast. But don't give up, guys. Remember, 988, dial that number if you're in trouble, okay? Because we do want to help.